morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
We have a next question from listener Elisa. Elisa asks, I ordered a new pendulum about a month ago. It's metal and bronze colored. I'll be honest, I don't know if it's full bronze, but it's still pretty. I love this one, but do you have a preference over metal or crystal pendulums? And what are your favorite ways to use them? Thanks.
That's a great question. First of all, I don't have a preference. I think my preference would be the one that I'm really attracted to. People have used a variety of objects for pendulums, ranging from a needle on thread. I've seen people actually take like a necklace where they have like an amulet on the on a necklace, and they take their necklace off and use that as a pendulum. So there's really no preference. There's no, you know, this one's better than this one, other than, you know, work with the pendulum that you're drawn to and you feel attracted to using. So if the one that you have is metal and bronze and that's the one that works for you, great, like, awesome, use that one. So then the other part of that question was, do I have a special or a preferred technique for using pendulums? So I think that my favorite, now I know people use pendulum boards, and you created a really beautiful pendulum board that I know is on the back of a lot of Witchway magazines, which is gorgeous. And I've used it before and it works for sure. Like if that's a really fun way to use it. And I encourage people, you know, to try it out if they're pendulum readers. If you're just starting with pendulum, you may want to try a simple technique of just holding the pendulum. And right now, obviously people can't see me, but I'm resting my elbow on a table. And that's something I suggest trying is really keeping the hand that you've got the pendulum in, keeping it on a steady surface. So if you've got the pendulum, if you're holding it in your right hand, have your right elbow propped up on a solid table. So it's not moving around. It's just very, very still. And this is just to ensure that nothing is manipulating the way it's moving, right? I've seen people hold it and, you know, if you're really steady, I mean, I guess you don't need to put your elbow on a table, but anyways, I guess that's probably a technique I prefer. And then I'll begin a session just by, you know, saying, well, you know, my pendulums know me at this point, but, you know, just finding a way to almost like open up the session, connect with the pendulum. Usually I'll say something like, hello, it's such a blessing to be able to do this session. I don't necessarily have to say it out loud. You could say it in your mind. But the first thing I always do is I say, please show me yes. And I look to see which way the pendulum is moving. And it could vary from one reader to the next. Some people say that the pendulum will go up and down to show yes. But then there are other people who say, no, it turns in a clockwise circle. So it really just depends on who's doing the reading, or could depend on the pendulum too. So it's really nice to just begin by doing a nice blessing, a nice greeting, and then saying, show me yes, and then show me no. You'll usually find that it's the opposite. So show me yes, it might be up and down. Show me no, might be back and forth. But just mentally remember that. So when you are working with the pendulum, you know what yes and no look like. Some people will also ask, show me, I don't know. So maybe reply is hazy, ask again later is the next one you ask. So you say, show me yes, show me no, show me, I don't know. I don't know means there's no answer right now. You will have to ask again later. Or kind of going back to the previous question that we had, maybe it's not the right kit, the right question, the right time to ask that. So I don't know is a really good one to see as well. So that's probably my preferred technique for using pendulum. And just keeping in mind that, you know, you should really only ask questions that you want to know the answer to. And nothing, you know, vast like, am I going to get married 20 years from now? I don't know. if that's an immediate concern. So
I actually love pendulums. It was like one of the first divination methods I was ever exposed to. It was like a folk method, but basically I think people forget a pendulum just means a weight on a string, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. It can literally be anything that is a mm-hmm. weight on a string. Just modern day witches just think crystals are pretty and that's what we use. So whatever works for you. I've known people who like take, you know, a ring off their finger, put it on a chain, there bam, go. They got their pendulum. It's just, so whatever works, you know, like you said, whatever works for you. I would like to offer a complete opposite opinion on something than what you shared.
Yes. I want to hear it. But
only because I feel like, people listening may hear what you say and connect with it, but then maybe they'll hear what I say and connect with that. So
yes.
Offering varying perspectives, I think, is really helpful. But I actually hate to say this. I actually really hate the show me yes, show me no method. And the reason for this is I don't think an average person is good at establishing a baseline. I don't think they have the patience to actually go through, because truly, if you pick a pendulum out of a bag and, or a thing and you say, show me yes, show me no, you don't know if the pendulum is responding at that time. You don't know if you're holding it well. If you're brand new and you've never held a pendulum before, are you moving it? And then to truly get a real baseline, you got to do that shit like 50 times.
I love it. Well, so you know? What's your baseline? How do you start?
I'll tell it what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's it. I say, okay, yes, it's so for me, I tell the pendulum how it's going to be read.
So, again,
just because I don't think it's a bad technique, I just think it's a technique that 99.9% of people won't do correctly. That's
I love
just
it.
My opinion. Yeah.
Oh, and it's perfect.
Just the experimental method, like what are the odds, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I just say a circle is yes, back and forth is no. That vibrating thing it does is, I don't know.
And I love it.
I think it's simple. It works. I don't think the show me yes, show me no thing is a bad technique. I just don't think it's one most people can execute correctly. You know,
I think that's amazing. I love that. I wish we now I'm like edition 3.
No, because that would be a whole just me. Because there's articles in the book where you said at like. You said like editor's note, and I already feel like I'm like already butting into your book at that point. But no, it would have just been a paragraph of like editor rants of like, let me tell you why I hate this.
That's such a great point. And something I'll say too, that a lot of people will say is if you do decide to use, I love the idea that you give that, you know, like, let's actually tell the pendulum, this is what yes looks like. This is what no looks like. This is what I don't know looks like. For people that want to try the yes, no, you know, like show me what I've done and what I've seen people do is they'll see that what it does when it says show me yes, show me no, show me I don't know, they will then ask a question they know the answer to. So for example, you might say, I'll use my example, like I currently live in Kansas City. I don't live there. So if I say that to the pendulum, the response should be no. It's just another example. You may want to try that as well.
Oh yeah, that's a great practice. Especially if you're brand new at like doing pendulums, ask a stranger to read for them. I think we actually did this as an example once. I would ask Kiki. So I'm a brand new pendulum reader. I'm practicing. I would ask Kiki to participate with me, and I would say ask three questions maybe two that you know the answer to, but I don't, to like, you know, take out bias. And I would read for her. I would answer all three questions. And then she would tell me if it was correct on the two or one that she knew. And then you can base from there if your pendulum's reading accurately.
This is great.
Done on this podcast. Done it before somewhere we've done that before.
It was like a Which Way Live. And
maybe.
That is so fun. We'll have to do this again.
We'll have to do it. So fun.
That's so cool.
So Alicia asks, how long did it take you to find the divination style that worked best for you? I love tarot, but I'm struggling with memorizing all the meanings of the cards. I'm not planning to be a professional tarot reader. I just want to do it for myself.
That's a great question. My personal answer is that, you know, for me, tarot came really, really naturally. So, and I don't expect that for everybody, but just asking me how long it took me to find it. Like I got a deck of tarot cards and I felt a very, very strong and deep connection to it almost instantaneously. And I don't even know if it was necessarily tarot or the practice of reading tarot, or if it was actually the illustrations that Pamela Coleman Smith put together for the Rider Waite Smith deck. It could have been that, because I really felt deeply drawn to that imagery. So for me personally, it felt pretty good right away. I don't know if it feels that way for all different forms of divination all the time. I was saying earlier, astrology, I kind of dragged my feet with for a really, really long time. And I'm never going to be somebody that people are going to come and get their natal chart read, right? Like that's not for me. But like you, you know, I'm going to read astrology for myself. I may read it for other people, that are friends or family. Just, you know, not every single divination reader or divination kit that a reader uses needs to become a master expert who's reading professionally for other people. It can be used as a practice for yourself and for those that you love. And I understand the pain of memorization, especially with tarot, and it could be that way with any kit in particular. I feel like part of the reason why I enjoyed writing the book was because it was an exercise in just building and developing my relationship with my own personalized kits and what each of the things represented to me. Now, of course, that doesn't, you know, translate, I guess, with things that have traditional meanings such as the runes or the ogham, or the tarot. But memorization is tough. But if you're willing to find a kit that you love or enjoy, again, I'm going back to that journaling and that note-taking, the more you write about it, I think the more it clicks. And I'll say this too, personal associations are also very, very helpful. So, and this, I'm just going to use tarot as an example, but you can use this with anything and maybe even with dice, or with crystals, it doesn't matter what, but you may see a certain answer. You might receive a certain card, a certain image, a certain rune, a certain whatever, and it reminds you of a character from your favorite book or an episode of Charmed that you're absolutely obsessed with, or something, or a lesson that Sophia Petrillo gave in an episode of The Golden Girls. Or you might hear the lyrics of a song that relate to the interpretation of that message. Like, really hold space with those personal responses, because that is something that you'll remember. It's like forever and ever and ever, I will always associate the High Priestess with Tori Amos. And that might not be the same for everybody, but I know for me that maybe when I just began reading tarot, knowing that Tori Amos was sort of like my personal connection with the High Priestess allowed for me to have a memorized set of interpretations. So I hope that,
I think so.
I hope that helps.
So our last question is from listener Rafi. Rafi asks, is there something I can do besides meditation that can heighten divination? It's kind of hard for me to focus and clear my mind, but any advice to amp up divination skills is greatly appreciated.
That's awesome. I love divination and I do love divination, but what I meant to say was I love meditation, but I'm probably not like the best meditation student because I have a very, very, very active mind. So if you do want to try meditation a little bit more, I recommend it to a lot of people. There's an app called Insight Timer where there are actually like guided 1 minute meditations. So even if you can give a minute a day, that's where I'd go. If you're like, I'm done with meditation, I want other ways to heighten divination, you may want to listen to recordings of crystal singing bowls if you're somebody who really responds well to music. So think of the things that sort of shift you into a space of relaxation. There might be songs, there might be smells, there might even be ritual foods that sort of like remind you that you're a magical person. And so for me with divination, you know, it could be different for person to person, but there are definitely fragrances that are associated with divination. For me, I always think of sandalwood and jasmine as being things that, you know, sort of will allow for you to kind of be in more of a space to awaken psychic messages. We talked about mugwort earlier. I know that mugwort incense, it's not pretty. It's not like it's like a flowery something that you find in Home Goods. The day that we could find like loose leaf mugwort, you know, herbs in Home Goods will be an interesting day. But, you know, maybe I always used to, when I started reading tarot professionally, there was a blend that I used that had like frankincense, rose petals, cinnamon, and mugwort. And for some reason, I can even smell that now. And it would like almost like shift my attention and put me in the world where I was like, oh, I'm the oracle. I could do divination. Some people will light candles. You may want to light candles. Some people, if you're a person that uses crystals, I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people are not really into it. I'm obsessed with them. I know that amethyst is a favorite for divination. I think that I list a few others that I really enjoy too. Like labradorite is another one that I really love to hold on to if I'm doing divination. So I guess that my answer is, you know, think about the items, the sounds, the fragrances, the smells, the tastes. You may even have a tea that you like to use for divination, something that you drink that puts you in a space where you remember that you are a powerful oracle.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I know a ton of readers who like have a very specific way that their table is set up, and it's almost like ritualistic. So I think that is kind of like the signal to the brain of, okay, now we're doing this, you know? Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like that. The idea of ritual, like what ritual do you have to remind you that, you know, now is the time and space for me to do divination. And that could vary from person to person. I've also sat down at, you know, a bar and, you know, somebody comes up and says, here's my palm, give me a reading. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, let me snap into the mode where I offer you something. Of course, that's more of a party favor, but than a sacred moment. I guess it could become a sacred moment. Any time is a time to allow sacred energy to come through, I guess.
I agree. So yeah, those are all the questions we have. Your book comes out July 13th mm-hmm. and is available for pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. So So anyone can check that out. If you don't want to support Amazon, what I completely understand, there are other avenues. So it's A Curious Future, the second edition, and you got your books in today. And yes, and when you showed me, I was like, oh my God, it's so thick. Because I have the first edition, and I feel like it's just, it's so much bigger than the first edition.
I think that the word count doubled.
Yeah. Yes. And then plus the illustrations, I think it's huge. And we were really lucky to have so many talented hands on the book. Of course you wrote it, right? And so it's fantastic. Then we had Haley Newman illustrated it. Mm-hmm. So all of the illustrations are for the book, which I absolutely love. Do you have a favorite illustration?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, and I need to give a shout out because it's my brother did the cover. Yes. And then Haley, and I'm so happy Haley found me on Instagram, and I was so excited. Oh, my favorite picture. Oh, her seashell pictures are absolutely gorgeous. And then there was like a stack of teacups that I really loved. And there's also a picture of somebody curled up for automatic writing, which I really love too.
That's actually my favorite.
Yeah, that's one of your favorites?
Because it's so, she looks so serene.
She's got her little cozy socks on, and it just makes me so happy. Like, it's this comfy chair. Like, I feel like people will see that illustration and just that will want to make them want to try this more than anything else. It's just the idea that, like, you can curl up in your favorite chair in your comfy socks and light a candle and just go ahead and see what messages you can create. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful book.
Yes. Haley did a great job. Your brother, Johnny, did a great job on the cover. I did content editing. Paul Flagg, he did technical editing. And then Emily Barta did all the formatting. And just, I love when just talented people come together. And
what a team.
A beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'm so thankful for your eyes and for Paul's eyes and for Emily just, you know, coming together and making it into this refined and polished book. I'm so grateful for all of you and for the support and the team to come together and create this. So thank you.
So where can people find you if they want to? But I mean, you're here all the time on the podcast, but where else can they find you?
They can always find me through you. That's true. It's so true. But yes, I would say that I'm, you know, you could find me on all different social media. Like, I'm even on TikTok now. Like, you can find me doing singing bowls on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. Or bringing my cats for a walk in a stroller on TikTok. But if you really want to see where I'm most active, find me on Twitter, the little tweeting bird, KikiD333. That's my name on there. But you're welcome to find me on Facebook, you know, add me as a friend. KikiDombrowski.com is also a good, you know, sort of like central way to find everything about me. You can find me and contact me through KikiDombrowski.com. Yeah.
Awesome. And we'll have a link to your book and your website and all of that in the podcast episode description.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.